Well, welcome to Healing School here at High Point Church on this somewhat blustery day in October. And welcome to you who are viewing us online. I have the honor of sharing with you again today, and we're going to be talking about His Word of Power and our having faith in His power. This will be the last in this series that I've been doing on I Can Receive from My Father. And because we entered into worship, I just don't feel led to pray right now. So we're just going to jump right into it. And that's one of the things you looking and viewing us online miss. So let me encourage you, come out to High Point Church here on Hollis Road on Thursday mornings and just be lifted up by the worship that we have together. I am going to go back through these three verses that we've been founded on. I must confess I was tempted to not read these again because we've been together and been through them six times. But the Holy Spirit just impressed on me that there was a reason He wanted it read today. And so I'm just figuring I haven't gotten all the wisdom I need from it. And I would say we're all in that boat. So I want to look at 2 Peter, first chapter, second verse. 2 Peter, first chapter, second verse. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. And I'm just going to repeat that, in the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. In the knowledge of God, grace and peace is multiplied to us. Next verse. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us, has granted, past tense, everything pertaining to life and godliness. And how has it done that? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Now, I just want to stress, as we've done before, He's granted to us, so it's given, everything pertaining to life and godliness, everything we need in this life, He's already placed inside us. And it's going to be made alive as we see the true knowledge of Him, as we come to see that. But I also just want to focus on this by His own glory and excellence, because we're going to end up with a verse today, or almost end up, with a verse that says, you and I, along with Christ Jesus, are the ones who ought to be glorifying, and let me say it differently, the world ought to see His glory through us. And for a lot of people, they would say, me? And I'm just going to say, yes. And then verse 4, for by these He has granted to us these great, His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we may become partakers, we may share in His divine nature, that which He's placed inside us. And as we are doing that, and this is also important with the verse we're going to be looking at, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. So He's taken us out of this kingdom and placed us into His kingdom, which is light. And so inside us today is love, peace, the Word of God, healing. It's in our spirit as we are one with His. And then 1 John, 5th chapter. And this is the confidence, this is verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have already received it, the request which we have asked for Him. Now that phrase, that we have, is a word which means to take hold of, but as we said in previous sessions, it also means that we make room for it. Now, again, the Word's already been placed inside you. Healing's already inside you. We've already had that. That's a completed act. You're perfect. You're complete. But when we take hold of that, then we're giving it a chance as we use our faith to do what? To not only just stay in our spirit, but to begin to manifest in our soul and in our flesh. And let me just mention, Pastor Trey, I think, prayed this morning for people who were coming for healing in their soul. So if that's you or if that's you watching, I just want you to know you've had someone praying for you specifically this morning. So by faith is what gives what's in our spirit substance so that it can be manifested with us in this flesh and in our soul today. And then finally, 1 John 3, verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence before God. In verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Now, He's talking to people who have already been born again, so they've got it in Him. So there's something we're doing in the receiving that's what? That's bringing it forth. And this all ties in with what we've been talking about these weeks as we've talked about esteeming His Word. And so by faith, we have substance of what He's already given us, and we can bring it forth into this realm. Now, last week, we began talking about you being God's cultivated garden. So let me just go through a couple of scriptures for those of you who maybe haven't seen it or weren't here last week. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And I'm not going to read all these, but to just give you the thoughts of it. When we receive His Word, it will perform its work in us. His Word will work effectively in you and I. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we saw there were two things that we needed to do. We needed to give ourselves wholly to God, submit to Him, to His Word, and then we also needed to do what? Renew our mind to the Word so that this soulish realm that I have begins to operate in conjunction with my spirit, which is filled with His Word. And so we have our spirit and soul aligned, and when we do that, we can dominate our flesh. But if our flesh is dominating our soul, then we got a two against one fight. And so it's going to be much more difficult. And what is to renewing your mind? I told you the word means renovate. It means what? Old with the out and in with the new. And we gave an example about a healing that I have heard accounted many times, to which a lady was saying she'd been to healing school similar to this. And she heard the word, and she heard the word, and she heard the word. And what'd she say? She said, I guess I just got so full of the word that there wasn't any room for that disease and sickness inside me. That's the renewing that can also take place in your mind so that you don't have disagreement with what's said. And then I want to read this one. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-9. This is where we really got into talking about the subject last week of the cultivated garden. It says, I planted, Paul writing, Apollos watered, but God was the one giving the growth. And then the next verse goes on and says, so then neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything. And all he's saying there, it is not about me. It is about the anointing that He's placed in me to share this word. But it's God that causes the growth. So we begin to think about seed time, or seed, time, and what? Harvest, yes. And let's not forget that we're to be harvesters. We are to bring forth that. So then in this next verse then, verse 8, let's just go on to 9. For we are God's fellow workers. And then it says, for you are God's field. Now that word field there literally means able to be cultivated, able to be tilled. The Young's literal translation says, you are God's tillage. But the King James says, you're God's husbandry. And that again means able to be cultivated. But I like the Passion, and that's where we got the title for last week, which says, you are God's cultivated garden. Do you realize He's working in you all the time? Even when we don't feel like it, what do we know? That word is working in you. And then finally, the Williams translation, not mine, says, you belong to God as His field to be tilled. So when we are talking about renewing our mind, so often I get to the point where I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it becomes about me, when I've got the Lord already working inside me with the Holy Spirit to cultivate the garden of my heart so that that word will not just lie, that seed sown will not just lie fallow in the ground. It will what? It will come alive as it is watered. And then we looked at James 1:21, and I want to do this because I feel like that was an important point that we made last week. It says, in humility, we must receive the word planted, implanted, which is able to save our souls. Now, that sounds a lot like me, saving our souls, that we're going to renew our mind so that we are thinking the way God does. But again, the Williams translation reads this way. That word, when rooted in your hearts, is able to save your soul. So that word has got to come alive. It just isn't going to stay in seed form. It is going to burst forth in if we are to let it produce what the Lord wants. We began to close last week looking at Proverbs 12:3, which ends with this phrase, but the root of righteousness will not be moved. The root of righteousness. And I told you that when the word is sown, even like last week, the parable of the sower tells us what? That the enemy is going to come and try to take it away. All of his effort is going to be directed at keeping that seed from springing forth so it can bear root in your heart. And what did we learn last week? It's a lot harder to pull a tree up when that root has formed than it is to go dig up that one little seed. So we see why the devil is working so hard to keep you and I exactly where we are. And so the question that I asked, and I hope you've considered it, is, do you see yourself as having tree potential versus just keeping his word in your heart and it never doing anything? And this is part of that identity of submitting wholly to him and seeing who we are in him. And today, what I want to do is to really begin to focus on that same image being created in you, that his power is available to be brought forth, not only in you, but for you. You must believe that. We can say all along, God is good, and he's good all the time. But if you don't believe he's good for you or to you, then it's not going to do you any good. And so say with me one last time. I am his garden. Lord, work in me. Till my heart. So that I might water the seed. And it bring forth the harvest that I need. Now, if you can't say that with some confidence, then go back and meditate. Look at some of this again. So, let's go back to Joshua 1:8, because I felt like we hurried through that too much last week. His word with power. When we receive it, when we make it alive, when we esteem it highly and make it alive, it will produce. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, talking about the word, shall not depart from your mouth. Now let's just stop there for a moment. You know, the Lord knows that we have things to do and that we just can't say this verse over and over and over 24 hours a day. That's not what this is talking about. It just means that you've got to be so ready to speak his word because it never departs your mouth. It never departs from your soul. And so I want you to see that today speaking it is how power comes forth from the word. Isn't that what the Lord did at creation? 8 times, I think it says, concerning creation. He said, and Holy Spirit acted. And that is the same way for us today. So I just want you to see, one of the reasons I believe this phrase is in there is not just so we can mutter it over and over until we get understanding of it. It's also because this is the way that you shall bring fruit, forth fruit. Matthew 21, if you look at all the you's and saying, there's a lot of you saying what the word says to cause things to happen, not just asking or begging. So, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. We likened, if you we ask the question, do you know how to meditate? And some people are nodding yes today, and we asked, and I'll ask again today, do you know how to worry? Because if you know how to worry, what are you doing? You're thinking about the consequences of what could happen over and over and over. You're meditating. You're imagining. And I like that word. That's one of the things that the word meditate means. It means to mutter, to ponder, to imagine. So I want your sanctified imagination working, not the imagination and the images that the world is trying to create in you. That's what we want. In Romans 12:2, talked about renewing in our mind too. So we're going to meditate on it day and night so that we may be careful to do. We may be careful to do. That says to me, there's something I ought to be able to do with the word. Part of that is to say it, but part of that is to act upon it as he tells me to. And so we're to be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So I want to pause right here. And I hadn't planned to say this. I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to say this. The image that you need to see of yourself when you do this verse is one of prospering and having success. You need to see yourself prospering. How? In every way, just as your soul prospers, that you may be in health and that you may prosper in every way, just as your soul prospers. So this is how we begin to do what we've been talking about in these previous six sessions, is to get that word in us so that we can speak it. When we were talking this morning or praying this morning, Pastor Trey also said, you know, thank you, Father, for the privilege of walking in your authority. You're going to see that come up today. But then he said, even commanding. And that goes back to one of our earlier sessions. You, when this word becomes rooted and grounded in your heart, you can speak to that mountain and it shall what? It shall be moved. And that word there is meaning you command it. You tell it to go. We're not commanding God, but we're doing what? Telling any darkness, any evil, you have no place in front of me. Get out of the way. Now, when this word and the revelation, I want to make sure I read what the Lord gave me here. This word is to be understood through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And what we've seen in previous weeks in the last session, then we begin to know that his word will work effectively in us. Why? Because there is power in his word when it's spoken in faith by your mouth. You have the power to do it. You don't have to ask a pastor or anyone else to do it. And it's okay to do it when you need somebody to hold you up and gather with you. That's when two or more need to be in agreement. But I want you to see, you've got that power. And I really believe this. When his word is revealed, understood, acted upon, which means spoken and or some action, a harvest is produced. That's a guarantee. There is no might in that. A harvest will come forth. And listen to Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 20. Now, this is the end of the parable of the sower. And this, I believe, is talking about you today, because who is at work in you tilling and getting that soil to be good soil? God is, because you are his tillage. And those are the ones, talking about us, on whom seed was sown on good soil. We're going to see that I believe good soil is soil that has been prepared to know that you have the image that you are the beloved of God, so strong in him. And then it says, and they hear the word, and they accept it, and they do what? Bear fruit. Now, is there a might in there? Or is there a sometimes in there? It says if we will have our soul prepared, to let the word do its work as we meditate it and let God prepare our hearts, then when that seed is sown in that good soil and we hear that word, then it shall bring forth a harvest. It will bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. Most of us would be happy for one fold or two fold. But don't limit God in what he can do for you. And I'm preaching to myself on this one. I mean, there's some things in my life that I'm believing for that I don't see how in the world the Lord's going to do it. But I just have to step back and trust him. The next two verses, again, when I read this, I just see that that's so firm. The next two verses, verse 21, says, "And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it, or under a bed?" Now, he's saying this right after he's been talking about a harvest coming forth through seed. So I'm making an analogy that he's, or I just believe he's talking, continuing to talk about that seed being sown. And it says, "Is it brought to be put under the lamps?" Slow down. "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it, or under a bed?" So that just says to me, we don't want a seed that's never going to do anything. "Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand?" So it can shine for it to be what? Can I say brought forth? Yes. And then verse 22. "For nothing is hidden except to be revealed." Don't you ever say, "I can't understand that word. I know it's in me, but I just can't." That's not what this word says. This word says that seed that has been planted in you is expected to be revealed. "Nor has anything been secret, but that it would" what? "Come to light." It would bring forth a harvest. It would be recognized as the glory of God being manifested in this earth. That's what we are to do with this word seed that we're planting in ourselves today. The word is to bring forth that light. And how does it do that? Because there is power in that word when you speak it forth in faith. Let me read you three things, or tell you three things with scriptures that I believe the word will do to get you ready for this harvest. First thing is, the word will separate you and I from the world and the prince of this world. John 8, verses 31 and 32. You know, we think, well, I got to fight the devil. I mean, I believe this is telling us the word will work to separate us. So it's not something we, again, are doing. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who has believed in him, "If you continue in my word," now I need to stop there. "If you abide in my word," I know we have it in us, but abiding means we're living in a relationship with it. We know it. We esteem it. We value it. And if we know it, then what are we going to be doing? Acting on it, or become doers of the word. Then it says, if that's the case, then you're my disciples. And a lot of Christians are not disciples because that word is in them, but they're not abiding in it, and they're not bringing forth fruit from it. So that's part of being separated. And then the rest of it, verse 32, when you do that, that's when you'll know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free or make you free. That's the harvest of the world, of the word working to separate you from the devil and from this kingdom of darkness that he tries to maintain futility, if you will. So the word will separate us from the world and the prince of this world. The second thing it will do is it will separate you from your old man and your old ways. Look with me at Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. "And that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now, the word spirit there is not to mean Holy Spirit or even your spirit. It means the attitude, the way you think, the way you see yourself, that image. So we're supposed to be renewed. Now, what does renew mean? Get rid of the old. And then verse 24, and then you can put on the new self, which is created in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness, right standing with Him, and holiness of the truth or of His word. So we're just constantly seeing the word working in us in these verses to separate us from our old self, from our old man. And then finally, and when we're separated from our old self, what were we instructed to do? Put on the new. And then finally, you know, a lot of people just say the word sanctified means to separate. And it does. But not only are we separated from, let me do it this way. Not only are we separated from all the evil that's over there, we're also separated unto our God. And this is what Jesus was praying. Chapter 17 of John, I believe, is truly the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 is the model prayer, but this is the Lord's Prayer for you. I have given them your word. Now, don't think this is just about the disciples, because he says in this chapter, and for all those who will believe, who's going to come after them because of the word. So I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as or just like I'm not of the world. So that says to me, we've already been what? Separated from the world. 15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, saints, there is something really important about that concept that we need to get when it's repeated twice within three verses. You are no longer under the domain or the dominion of darkness. You have been separated from that, and you have been placed into the kingdom of light. Verse 17. Sanctify them, set them apart in truth, in the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. So set them apart in the Word. And then Jesus says to the Father, your Word is truth. So we are sanctified through the Word, to the Word, Jesus Himself, and to the Father who spoke the Word. Set apart unto Him. Now, when we get this, when this is the image we see of ourselves, I believe this is when we're going to be in a position to see the Word, begin to bring power to the situations that we all face. Now, this next, Ephesians 1 is where we're going, to verse 15. And I'm not going to teach this as I normally would, as Paul's prayer, and here's how you ought to pray it, when we'd be here for a whole hour just on these few verses. But I want you to see how it ties in, or how everything we've been studying is really encapsulated in this prayer in Ephesians 1, and in a few moments we're going to look at Ephesians 3. Everything we've been talking about is encapsulated here. So 15, for this reason too, I, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists amongst you and your love for the saints. That's a pretty good accommodation in it. Commendation, isn't it? I'd like for the Lord to say that about all of us. So he's talking to people who are doing some things right. 16, I do not cease giving thanks for you. So he's thankful for what we've done while making mention of you in our prayers. Now this says to me, and you see it if you look at his letters to Thessalonians, that he's basically saying, look, you've done some good. Don't stop there. It's time to increase. And I'm going to say increase even during difficult times, which is the situation we're faced with today. And then verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, there's that word again, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation And this takes us all the way back to where we started in 2 Peter, doesn't it? One, in the knowledge of Him. Do you see that He is not asking the Lord to give them anything new, just an understanding and the revelation and the wisdom on how to act on what's already been placed inside you? 18. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, which is where that has been deposited in us when we were born again, may be enlightened. Not under a lampstand. I mean, not under a basket, but get it on a lampstand so it'll work, so it'll shine in us. So that you will know what is the hope of His calling, and I'll go ahead and say, which is you, which are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in you, the saints. Do you see that Jesus views you and the Father views you as the riches of the glory that He's inherited? Oh my goodness. And we think He's going to withhold healing from us? No good thing does He withhold from them who walk uprightly. Now don't think that means what it did in the Old Testament. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, because you've been made righteous, which is what that means. That's where you and I are positionally placed together. And then let's go to 19. And here we get into the power, which is where we're trying to take. And what is all this coming from? Gaining wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So understanding the Word. And what is the surpassing greatness of that power toward us who believe? The word toward there in the Greek, in fact, the Amplified says it this way: to you and for you. Literally, it means to and into. Now, that's going to be important. You've got power in there. Do you see yourself as being able to possess and act on the words where this power would be released? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. I'm not going to go through all those different words and what they mean. Which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Same Holy Spirit that did this resides in you. So let me just pause. Ephesians 2 says, in the end, when it's talking about three different things that happened to us, it says we've been what? Seated with Him in the heavenlies. So I'm going to ask a question. Are you staying seated? Or are you getting up and running around? You know, a king doesn't get up and run around when he wants something done. In fact, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says this: where the word of a king is, there is power. So if a king wants a ditch dug, he doesn't go up and say, give me a shovel. Dig the ditch. And I'm going to tell you, when you speak God's word, Satan must respond just like a subject of the king would respond to those instructions. 21 through 23. Let's go back to Ephesians 1, 21. So we've been placed and seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. Where are you seated? Above all that. 22. And He put all things in subjection under His feet. Now, what are we called? The church, but the body of Christ. He put all things in subjection under His feet. Should we also say that all things have been put in subjection under our feet? And He gave Him as head over all things to whom? To you and I, the church. 23, which is His body, the fullness of Him, which does what? Fills all in all. In Him, from our position of authority, we get a revelation of the Word, just as Paul is praying that we would do, wisdom to know how to act on it, of all the knowledge of Him and the Father, And then we're seated, speaking that word, expecting it to be brought forth. Is this the way Jesus operated? Yeah, look at Luke 4, verse 36. Talking about Jesus, it says, "And amazement came upon all them, and they began talking with one another, saying, 'What is this message? For with authority and power,'" now that we've just spent weeks here at High Point Church on Sunday morning talking about this. You can go listen if you want to learn more about it. "But you have authority and you have the power of heaven backing you up on those words that you speak. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they do what? They come out." Not might. But when that seed is watered, just as it was in Jesus, when he knew he was the Word and that he could speak with the authority that the Father had given him, harvest was guaranteed. And that way, that is the way it can be with us as well. In fact, that's the way it still is with Jesus. Because Hebrews 1, verse 3 says he upholds all things even today by the word of his power. So if we're looking to Jesus as an example, we've got one then. We've even got one in his high priestly role to us. Saints, this is how the kingdom of God works. This is how the kingdom that you've been placed in works. The word comes alive, and you speak it, and it brings forth fruit. Now, look with me at another scripture at 1 Corinthians 4:20. Short but powerful. "For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power." If the word didn't have power, then we all would be very concerned. But because the word has power, you have confidence that you're going to be in heaven for eternity with the Lord. That same power is ours to use here on this earth. 1 Thessalonians 1. And let me read you the Passion Translation for that verse we just looked at. Don't go back, Mary. For 1 Corinthians 4:20, Passion Translation reads this way: "For the kingdom realm of God comes with power, not simply impressive words." Do you remember several weeks ago that I told you, while I enjoy hearing you say, "Oh, that was a great message," that's not why I'm up here for. I'm up here for you to be changed so that you can come to me and say, "That word is working in me now. It is bringing forth fruit now." So 1 Thessalonians 1:5, look at what Paul says. "For my gospel," or our gospel, "did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as we know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake." So I want you to see, over and over, we're seeing what? His word, which was brought forth, and what came after it? Power. In every occasion. Now, look with me at Ephesians 3. We're okay. Start in verse 16. Ephesians 3, verse 16. Paul is praying again, and he said for them, he's praying for the family in heaven and in earth, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now, the word "according" is important. It's going to be used twice here, so we need to understand it. It means in proportion to. You don't want the wealth I'm able to give you in proportion to me. You want me to be able to deal with you from God's perspective. That's what Philippians 4:19 is basically telling us. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you be strengthened with power, which is already residing in you, through His Spirit in the inner man. So he's praying here that this, the revelation of the power that's already dwelling in us would come alive to us in our hearts. Verse 17 then. And let me stop. Psalm 119, verse 28, I believe. May be wrong verse. Let me look. I think I've got it. Yes. It says, strengthen me, the psalmist writes, according to your word. So I just want to take you back that this is where that strength comes from, is in that word. And then 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. There's that word dwell again. It doesn't mean just hang out there and do nothing. It means to be actively engaged. You want the Lord and what He's planted in you to be active and engaged with you in your life. That He dwell in your hearts through faith. You're going to have to believe it. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. His love for you. See yourself in that way. 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints, all your brethren, what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. And on to 19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Now stop there. If we're to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, meaning head knowledge, then what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to believe that He loves us in that way. We're going to have to act in faith toward that. And when we do, look what happens. That we may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, I just see that. Well, let's go to 1 John 4:8. What does 1 John 4:8 talks about? The last three words in it. For God is love. It says the same thing, I think, in 16 in that same chapter. So if God is love, then we could actually substitute the word love for God here. So that you may be filled up to all the fullness of love Himself. When that happens, your garden, when that revelation of the Word comes, your garden is tilled and seed is ready to burst forth as you water it. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And here's the word according again. In proportion to the power that works within us. Now, is that power just working automatically? Or have we had to fellowship with the Word, fellowship with the Father, get the revelation so that what? So that that power. So this verse says to me, and I've heard him say it, I've told you before, Andrew Womack used to come to our church in Tennessee many, many years, I think about 14 or 15. And I can see him standing on that stage and saying, so how much of this power are you letting work in you? How much are you bringing forth? Because it's just not a matter. This is in proportion to the power that we're allowing to work within us, that we're bringing forth to work in within us. And then the final verse, and I want you to see this clearly now. To Him be the glory. And where is that glory supposed to be? What's the next three words? In the church. So to Him be the glory in you and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Saints, that's why it's so important that we see who we are in Him, that we have this image that this power is working in us, that He made us worthy, not just so we can go around and say, look at what God's done in me from a power standpoint, but so His glory can be seen, that light would shine. Now, no question, to do this, we must feed on the Word. if that word is to work in you. I don't want his word to, can I use a sports analogy? Have you heard the phrase, and some of you ladies may say no, but many of you ladies will understand, of a team that wins and then they get to the playoffs and everybody says, well, they're one and done. I don't want to be a one and done related to all these things that we're studying about. I want this to be constantly flowing forth in my life for you and for this city, for those that we think are not like us that need to know this same revelation. I want this word to be seen in us so strong. So maybe in this time that we've been studying this, you've gotten a revelation and you may say, hey, I even got results from it. Don't let it be a one and done. Keep it alive in you. How do I do that? Well, one of the things you're going to have to do is to keep growing and developing, just like we saw Paul encourage the folks today in the Ephesians, like he does the Thessalonians. So we're going to keep meditating the word, but I want to go even a step further. I think you need, when you have a word that really becomes alive, and if it hasn't borne fruit, or if it has, you need to keep laying that word before the altar and praying about it until it comes alive in you. Can I just say it this way? When you receive a word from the Lord, you want to protect it, because you can bet Satan's going to come and still try to find a way to steal it from you. Do we have an image of that in the Bible that we can use? Yeah. All the way back to Genesis. So if you'll pull it up, please, Genesis 15, verse 8. The Lord and Abraham had conversations. How's this going to happen? How do I know this is going to be? You're telling me some awful good stuff. I believe you, but how am I going to really know it? And what did he tell him to do? Take some animals and cut them, which he did for all except the birds. We're not going into the meaning of all that today. Time doesn't permit it. But the Lord basically, when he asked this question, how may I know that I will possess it? Verse 9. So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. 10. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid them half opposite each other. But he did not cut the birds. Now, where did he lay them? On an altar. Can I just say before God? And then the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses. And Abraham drove them away. He protected that which he had highly esteemed. And why did he highly esteem animals that were cut up and laid before the altar? Because that was the word of the Lord to him that he acted upon. That's how he was going to have confidence in the Lord through this covenant ritual. So I just want to say to you, when he comes to steal, drive him away. You don't have to let him take your word. Don't let him try to paint an image of somebody that you know that you're not. How do we do it? Meditating, muttering the word, praying the word, confessing the words, drive the birds away. All the while, don't forget that your Father, the husbandman of the field, of his garden, is at work cultivating in your heart with love so that the seed of the word that he's planted there can produce. The final image I want to leave you with. So you remember in Luke 13, it's got about two examples in the first 4 or 5 verses about terrible things happening to people. Tower of Siloam falls and kills folks. And then he starts right back after those two instances. And he gives us a picture of what Jesus is doing for us today. Because he's talking about someone who takes a role of intercession. He says that the owner of the field comes and says, cut this tree down because it's not producing. And the husbandman says, no, let me till the ground. I will say, let me fertilize it. If you look at King James, the original King James, he says, let me dung it. What is he doing? He's preparing the roots to receive all the nutrients, all that it needs to do what? To bring forth fruit. And he's confident that that word will work. He's confident that his word, what he's doing, will work because he says to the guy, so if it's not producing next year, then I'll cut it down. He's not saying if with no confidence. Saints, that's the same way Jesus is praying for you today. He's interceding to make sure this word, his word, himself, is implanted in you so that as you receive it, esteem it, bring it forth, speak it out as he instructs. Harvest time. Get the sickle out for everything we need. Let's bow our heads. Father, I just thank you on my own position right now. I just thank you for teaching me the things that you've taught in these past weeks and months on how I can continue to improve in my receiving of all that you've made available to me. All of these great, precious, magnificent promises, so that you can do above and beyond all that I could ask or think, exceedingly above and beyond all I could ask or think. So, Father, I ask you to take these words. Holy Spirit, you work with these people as they ask for your assistance, as they meditate this word. Bring it alive, Father, and we expect healings to spring forth in their bodies. I expect souls, that minds that have been troubled and worried and wearied, to be renewed and refreshed, emotions under control, so that wrong emotions won't even be causing sicknesses in this physical body. Father, I thank you that we can receive. And I just declare over these people that we can receive from you, Father. Your word is being rooted and grounded in our hearts. Our mind is being renewed by that word. And the word of power brings forth fruit as I speak it from my mouth and from their mouth as they speak it. We give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And let me just say, what does amen mean now? So be it. So when he says, verily, verily, what he's saying is, this is the way it is. And that's what I believe he's telling us today. Thank you for joining in. Again, we'd like to hear of any testimonies, so please put a note in to the video that you're looking at and let us be thankful with you. But remember, on all of this, what we're doing is glorifying God through his work in each of us. See you next week.